Feel
Go.
that. I was just gonna say, I know that noise.
This is going to be the start of the podcast for people. They're going to hear that.
That's fine. It's slapped together.
It's fine. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an impromptu version of the Gambit podcast. I'm here with Canada Fett. Solo couldn't be here. We couldn't log into the Gambit Twitch channel, so we're on my regular channel, and we're here to talk about Galaxy of Heroes. Canada, how are you today, man?
I am well, and thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to come in. I'm going to pour one out for Solo. I heard he's having some fun and having a few drinks and even accidentally stumbling into a Gakwin while he was drunk attacking. So, shout out to Solo for filling in and pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. I mean, the only displeasure is that you pronounce it GAC instead of GAC. That's the one part that I find exception with.
Yeah, well, people get on my offense pronunciation at least T minus 3 minutes into the podcast. I know that's coming. So,
How it works. Oberyn likes GAC. Ugh.
yeah. We have an impromptu. We're giving the fans the gambit. They were clamoring for it. They said slap it together. I don't care how it happens. You're watching some nuggets later, so it's going to be shortened. And big news for you, Rudy Gobert is out tonight because of the birth of his first son. So we have no excuses. We got our kids into bed early and helped where we could. And here we are, giving the fans what they want. But somehow the birth of your first son is more important than game two against the Nuggets, eh?
Dude, I have to say, I'm actually impressed by that. I hope they lose all the
I
rest of
am
their
too.
games, but I actually think that, like, if it's a regular season game, then whatever. But like the second round of the playoffs, after the Timberwolves have not made it to the second round for like however many, like 20 years or
Yeah.
something, and he's like one of their linchpin important players, and he's just gonna go meet his kid instead, like.
Yeah.
I
Good
have
on
to
him.
say, like that's impressive to me. I hope he loses all of the Timberwolves games for the postseason moving forward, but I have to say respect for him.
In hockey, we have the term the gentleman sweep, but you know what that is? That's you give him the first one to be nice, and then you take the next four. So we'll hope for a gentlemen sweep for the Nuggets,
Yeah.
give the T-Wolves fans a little bit of love and then take it all away from them.
Yeah, like they're already happier now than they have been for 20 years.
Yeah, they got
Like,
a first round to win. What more do you want?
yeah, like as opposed to the Nuggets fans who are going to be just like really disappointed not moving into the next round if we don't. Like, think of other people for once, guys.
Yeah,
Gosh.
we're a lot of years removed from the Kevin Garnett days.
You want to just talk about basketball this whole
Yeah, let's just this
hour?
Gambit is now a basketball podcast. So yeah, that's probably the biggest news. Half the reason why we're just impromptu throwing this together is we got a kit drop today. We got baby Obi-Wan, Padawan Obi-Wan, and we can go into his kit a little bit. I know you said you didn't read it, so I'll give you a quick recap, and anybody listening will give a quick recap. But the big
Yeah,
thing, and I
please
think the
do.
thing we should maybe jump into super quickly is apparently he has a exclusive Datacron, which is tied to Seven starring him on the first go around. So how
See,
do you feel about that? And what do you think is going to happen with it?
yeah, I so that's what got me distracted. I was reading his kit. I was like, I'm gonna read a kit for once. Like when it first comes out, so I know what people are talking about. And then I saw the Datacron thing that's exclusive, and I was like, what's that all about? And then I just went and chatted about that, and then I ran out of time to do anything more with the kit. So, yeah, that's really interesting. That's the first time they're doing something with it like that. Like that's if the only way you can get the I think you didn't say the only way you get this exclusive Datacron is. If you get him, what, like Relic 5 or something like that, or 7-star him,
I
like
saw a
that's the
seven
only way.
star,
Yeah.
yeah.
Which I mean that's the big part. Like that's $300 typically.
Yeah, and
A lot of money.
you were talking about it actually in chat, and I assume the same thing you said, but I did like your analysis on it. Like honestly, like exclusivity kind of has always been the name of the game. And for the spenders, I think for the, you know, I was a 2018 player for the time I've been around, I think they've gotten away from that a little bit more. It's been a lot more free to play friendly, in my opinion, in recent years. So I don't hate that that's coming back and I'm not rebel rousing like everybody else is, but you made a comment on, is it permanent? And we would assume it's not because I believe there'd be riots in the street, but they didn't say anything. And I know the question period is going to come out tomorrow. And I hope somebody asked that. And I hope they pick that question and answer it because in my opinion, it fundamentally changes how this game has worked since the start. Basically everything is time locked. So if you're spending, you know, and eventually even with time locked, you'll just eventually pass everyone where you get to the point of having every single Omicron. We have another conquest Omicron. We can talk about that too. But it's never been something where a first time around gives you something that nobody else can ever get, you know, other than I think there was maybe some Android unlocks or something back in the day, but even that, I think that was maybe just 7-star in a tune and get it back, but nothing to this level if it would be permanent. So I did like your take on asking that, at least bringing it up.
Well, I mean, it's $300, right? Like, I mean, unless you get lucky or whatever, people are always like, well, what if you don't spend that? I'm like, okay. Like, but for the most part, like, people aren't going to just get a free, you know, the two run roll on the gamble pack and it doesn't show up as 330 shards. So yeah, like you have to spend somewhere in the $300 range. And yeah, it probably isn't going to be permanent, but I mean, for $300, I don't know. I don't want to face a lot of people with a bunch of permanent long-term Datacrons, but at the same time, I also, like, how is it going to be? Like, it's going to come pre-rolled? Like, it's going to have a set level 3 and a level 6? Like, it just seems like it's going to be kind of outside of what the other ones of the new set are going to be. And because it's totally different, I think that all of the rules could potentially also be different. Not that they will be, but they might be.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know the logistics on it. Like, yeah, do they give you, you know, generic 369 and give you random rolls, or do they say, well, you have to get the mats and roll it up? Like, logistically, for how they've done Datacrons, I don't really know how they're going to do that. So that's a good question to bring up. For me, just where I am as a spender, I'm a, you know, light to medium spender, I guess medium for sure, in compared to people. That would be for me where kind of the breaking point would be, because like part of me says like I kind of have to do it if I want to be, you know, competitive at the higher echelon for at least the next, you know, I think we're kind of seeing about, you know, a year and a half, 2 year limits on good tunes that enter the meta, and some are more relevant, you know, some are less, like your Afras and your bows or whatever when their crons are gone. I think that would just be the breaking point for me. It'd be like I don't want to spend the little bit amount I am anymore, because now it's like it's not even I can kind of catch up spending, you know, a tenth of what the big guys do or whatever, the way that the game's set up and resource management and watching that a little bit more. So it fundamentally how I look change how I looked at the game. But nothing's off the wall with CGs, so.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest, like that I invest in Datacrons enough that it depends on how often they release these things. But if they were permanent, I would certainly think about it, at least of like, you know, maybe I start putting some money away for, you know, every once in a while whaling on a character that has a good Datacron or something if it was long term, because I mean, That's almost like gear. That's just like there's a window to get gear, and then it's just like long term. You have it forever. I don't know. It's like there's something very appealing to a long term Datacron because we don't have them.
Well, and the funny thing is with kind of how Jar Jar came out, how people knew they would wanted to get the Gungans. Our buddy Calvin's a good example of this. He's, you know, he said, I'm gonna plan out my crystals and do this as efficiently as I can, and. We both saw he kind of tanked his GAC rating for a while there. Fix the pronunciation for you.
Yes.
To get the Gungans in time. And for somebody like him, where, you know, he's not a spender at all, so maybe he's a bad example, but people that rushed the Gungans up to get Jar Jar, now to ask on top of that to get something like where it was permanent, like, I there would be Swoga riots in the street. Like there just would be the way that they've set up. So I just don't think it would do so much bad grace for CG. But on the flip side, I was saying to somebody in chat, in my guild chat, I believe it was, that I was like, yes, of course we can't just have the 60 million cash cap without something following it. Like it's just inevitable. If we get something good in this game, wait for the follow through. You got to wait for the follow through. It doesn't come immediately, but it's not just, aside from, I would say, quality of life changes. It's not like quality of life changes they do to hamper you down later. I think they actually listen to the community with some of that stuff, but they don't just hand out freebies for the sake of freebies. Yeah. It's usually, you know, hit them with the positive load and then something else. So I believe I don't know what the PG rating of this podcast is, but I believe they call that a shit sandwich. So if people are really upset with us, we'll probably get something to follow this that is good for the player base again, particularly so if it is permanent. But
well, so I don't think it's going to be permanent. And I also, to be very clear, I don't want to be permanent. I guess the thing is, there would be few enough people who would actually buy it. Like, this would be one of those things where people widely complain about Relic 9 without it impacting their lives. Like, they just round, like, they're just like, oh, I hate Relic 9. It's so it's so awful. Like, they get all stressed out about Relic 10 coming when Relic 9 doesn't even impact them, really. Like, most people, there's a ton of times I face people with way more Relic 9s, and I'm like, you barely notice the difference, you know? Yeah. And so, like, this would be a vanishingly small number of people who would actually invest in this. And I don't want to, I don't want the pressure to have it. I just think the CG might see an opportunity to be like, oh, hey, look, I mean, they also, the other thing is, they're locking, the most awesome, like, they're doing like a memorial thing or whatever, like some kind of cool, like, sound effect. And like, I don't know, for the marquee on this character. And they say you have to have him Relic 5 to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And that locks out like 98% of the people.
Yeah.
Playing. Like, they're not even going to be able to see this thing, but they're doing it exclusively for this small number of people who are paying all this money. I just have to think maybe they'll do something like that to be like, hey guys, you should still spend money. We realize there's a few people who have all their characters at Relic 9 now. Here's another incentive to keep spending money with us.
Right. And partly, like, you kind of touched on it, like, eventually, like, R9s, they're not as relevant as you think. In certain tunes, they are. But also, we've seen with Krons and relevancy for meta and marquees coming in and out. I wouldn't have a problem if it was, like, a mediocre 9 or slightly above average that stayed. Like, I think I'd be like, okay, well, that's not game-breaking. So go one of the two ways with it. Either have it obscenely powerful and only have it for the 4-month rotation like they normally would, or have it somewhat above average, maybe, where you're like, okay, yes, like, let's reward the spenders. Like, I do understand they need to monetize this game. You can talk about greediness and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, we've been very lucky this game has gone this long with the spending model. And I think, you know, surprised us, but even surprised CG and more importantly, EA to an example. That they really enjoy those quarterly reports. So I do understand the need to spend, and that would be a huge carrot and stick, but to have a ridiculously OP Kron 9 that, like you said, so I pulled up the stats since we're talking about it. As of 19 minutes ago, there's 2,100 Jar Jars. So this is a, you know, hyped, a lot of people like their Gungans that like it. The people that like the prequels like it. I know there's a little bit more time, so you maybe get another 500 here before the event's over. So what are we talking about? If you just spent for Jar Jar and then now you have to spend in again because that overlap does happen, what are we talking about? Like 1,000 players? Like, and if you have 1,000 players that have this ridiculously OP 9, you know, 2 years from now, I can't see that flying well with the community.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it'll be long-term, honestly.
I don't think so either.
But I do think, like, there's enough people who are frustrated about this, wondering about it, and, like, there's just been this big frenzy of discussion. Like, once I mentioned that on the Gambit server, like, instead of just saying, like, it'll display, like, so-and-so's typing something, and then eventually if enough people are typing, it says, a lot of people are typing or something. And like, that was just, like, nonstop for a long time. It was just,
you
knew, like,
you wrestled some Jiminies. Well, I seen that, and everyone's like, that would never happen. That, like, All I know with this game is I've heard the community say that will never happen before, and it's happened. So I think it's highly unlikely, very highly unlikely. But it doesn't mean that there's no way it would happen. So I guess, you know, at this point, we'll wait for tomorrow. It should be in the question and answers. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But really, drastically different from how we've seen this game and introduction of Datacrons and where we are now. So a little bit different. I don't hate it. Again, I do understand the spending model. I do understand that you need to give some, you know, power balance to the spenders. And again, we're seeing, especially with some of these nines, like Stapp's a perfect example. His is around for, you know, where these crons are gone in nine days or whatever it is. And I just got him, and I kind of use me as a, again, your medium spender that can kind of stay semi-competitive, but I'm late to the game on a lot of things. So I just got him. I'll have him for week three. I didn't spend on him at all. Double drops helped me catch up. I think I did 2 days of 200s only, 100 crystals the rest. And I'll have 2 months of Stap 9. Is that the model they're trying to do? Do they want people like me to have 2 months worth of Cron 9s? I don't know. They have that data, and they're looking at this kind of stuff and saying, like, hey, you know, Cron 9s used to be like when the marquees would drop, and only the people that spent for them got them. So, yeah, it's a totally different model, and I guess we'll just have to see some more details and go from there. I am really, really curious about the logistics of it. Like, what do you get? Just a nine? Roll your own six? Everything's locked at 20s, and you get your own rerolls. I don't know. I'm curious about the logistics. So,
well, okay. So looking at his his tags, let's see. So he's going to be Galactic Republican Jedi. So does that mean we're going to for sure have a Galactic Republic faction for the new Datacron set?
You would think so, because so I thought, and maybe not new set, because we still have another Conquest rotation for Queen Amidala. But I guess she's going to be in there, right? So this Cron set will drop, and she's not released yet. And you guys talked about this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. About that's kind of never really happened before. And people also talked about timeline of, well, her two sidekicks aren't going to be released when she's released. Well, we just got the one. Are we getting Qui-Gon tomorrow? Like, is that the other thing too?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My guess is that we'll get Qui-Gon, like the week, like right before Padme or Queen Amidala is released.
Yeah. Cause she would be, Conquest would start this next Sunday, right? Monday rather. So in a week from now. And then 10 days. So we're still two and a half weeks away from getting Queen Amidala. So yeah, that's a good point. I think so. I think we'll probably get, but we just have Jedi ones one too. And like, look, some of these Jedi sixes are really, really good. Like, so we can go into the kit a little bit, and I'll just kind of skim over, and I'm sure you're kind of half reading it a little bit. Do you want me to read full text, or just kind of go over basics of what his kit is?
Whatever you want to do, man. Go for it.
All right. Well, we'll go over. It's a podcast. There are people listening day after that can't follow along riding the truck. That's riding their vehicle. That's how I usually listen. So his basic is deal physical damage and inflict potency down on target enemy for one turn. If that enemy has 50% or more health, Padawan Obi-Wan gains 20% turn meter and foresight for one turn. Deal 5% more damage, stacking max 50% for each stack of heal over time Padawan Obi-Wan has. If there is an ally, Master Qui-Gon at the start of battle. If target enemy has less than 50% health, Padawan Obi-Wan gains defpen up and offense up for one turn.
Gosh, is that the longest basic in the game?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is getting worse and worse as we go on.
Basics are usually like, okay, at least I know what their basic does. Like, it does defense down and stun. Good. We're good. And this is like 20% or 50% and seven different types of buffs.
I do like the RNG element of that. Like, obviously, with Jar Jar's release, they're kind of tapping into that a little bit. And as somebody that likes their defense orientation more, RNG just helps you out more because you can't really plan against it. So, yeah, and then if he's going against somebody with less than 50% health, you're going to get different outcomes. TW, that's hard too, because, you know, most TW orders, it's like, do this, then this, then this, and this, because every single start is exactly the same. So this, you know, throws it up with who they attack and stuff. So for special, redirected blast, cooldown of 3. Deal physical damage to target enemy and daze them for 2 turns. If this attack critically hits, remove 100% turn meter from target enemy, and Patty 1 Obi-Wan gains 100 speed for 2 turns. This attack cannot be evaded.
Is that the way of saying that it can be resisted? It's like, well, you can't miss.
Yeah, but you won't dodge, but get your potency up. But again, potency up. That's potency down on his basic there. So this one I like, sweeping assault. So deal physical damage and inflict defense down for 2 turns on all enemies. Then if there is an active ally, Queen Amidala, deal damage again. Galactic Republic Jedi allies gain critical chance up and offense up for 2 turns. Why I like this is because the first attack, so I think Solo was actually mentioning this, being an attacker, he should have some decent damage. We got to check out defense penetration stats and stuff like that when he comes to the game. But I like that the first AoE, so it's attacking everyone, the first AoE is applying defense down. Again, if you have your potency up. So I'm seeing already a pattern here, get potency on him. So you get defense down on everybody, and then you get another attack again after you've gotten critical chance up and offense up. So that second attack is going to do a ton of damage under Queen Amidala. And one thing I've learned from the Wedgecron, it was, I believe, whatever team where you're running Mom with Wedge in it, I just remembered, I never realized how important defense down was in this game. Like, I always kind of thought, but defense is becoming much more of a part of kits. People are rolling defense on their mods more.
Defense down is key, man.
I've never realized how important that is. So that's a pretty darn good special with Queen Amidala. The one thing about that is it says if there is an active ally, Queen Amidala. So what is Queen Amidala's full name? It's not Queen Amidala, right?
I think it is. Yeah.
Is it? I was just wondering if this is leading open for future Queen Amidala's, but maybe I'm reading into that too much. His unique is 10 pages long because there's the conquest attached to it. So I'm not going to read that because it's conquest.
Oh, it balls. It really is. I'm looking at it and it's more than a full like length computer screen of text.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I'll go really quickly. Just we won't talk about the Ami, but at the start of battle, Padawan Obi-Wan gains 25% critical chance for each Galactic Republic ally, and if there is a Master Qui-Gon and Queen Amidala, Obi-Wan gains discipline until the end of battle, which cannot be copied, dispelled, or resisted. I'll go down to Disciple. Attacks can't be countered. Whenever this character gains a stack of protection over time, they also gain a stack of heal over time for 2 turns. This character's attack ignores protection. Ignoring protection is becoming really big in this game. It is very, very OP in my opinion. So that alone off is unique. At first when the kit dropped, I was like, there's a lot of he's got to be on Queen Amidala's team. I got to see Qui-Gon's kit. When I didn't read that last part about ignore protection, I was like, okay, I have a lot more. I think he's going to be a lot better.
Absolutely.
If there's an ally Master Qui-Gon, whenever he uses an ability, Padawan Obi-Wan assists, dealing 40% less damage. The first time Master Qui-Gon is defeated, Padawan Obi-Wan takes a bonus turn and gains 5% offense for each relic amplifier level Master Qui-Gon had for 4 turns. If there's an active decoy from Padme, Queen Amidala, Padawan Obi-Wan grants her 50% defense. If Padawan Obi-Wan is active, whenever an ally is critically hit, they gain defense up for 1 turn, and Padawan Obi-Wan gains critical damage up. Again, we just talked about defense down being OP, defense up is OP, so I think that part's pretty good too. Really quickly, how this is worded, it sounds to me like Master Qui-Gon is going to be a tank, because if you have verbiage that says if Master Qui-Gon dies first, then this other person gets a whole bunch of buffs. I can't see how he wouldn't be a tank, or at least have something that would direct him to him first. Unless both kits have whoever dies first give bonus to the other one. Maybe that's something we'll see in Qui-Gon's kit.
Or maybe it's just a nod to the fact that Obi-Wan was doing fine in the Maul fight, and then he just went into kill everything mode. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Conquest Omicron. And all I'll say about it is it's okay, but I think the resounding answer from the Conquest Omicron survey was, CG, if you want to have an a Conquest Omicron, you better make it like so ridiculously OP that people start looking at it and say, like, should I apply this? And it's kind of that, but then there's a 50% stamina cap on it, and there's like another restriction. And I think it would have maybe been there if they wouldn't have had that, but the 50% stamina restriction alone, because it's not tied to faction. That's the other thing people are saying. And people are saying, like, okay, can we start talking about if this does boost you up to hard mode or red box, how much of a benefit in this game? And it is a conversation worth having, especially for somebody like you that does starter videos or mid-game videos. Is that going to be better than a TW or Gakami? Late game, no, and I'll listen to that all day. But for somebody that's at starter mid-game, it's at least a question to have. I just think with relevancy and how long you look back on, you know, those failed, me and you both have T3 Omicron for TW, and you're like, oh, I wish I had that back. With longevity and playing this game for a long time, eventually that will catch up to you where you're like, I wish I didn't have it. But how much did it boost you in the meantime to get into a better guild, to get better rewards, right, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I mean, it's like the Zam Omicron. Like, I barely use it now, and it's unfortunate. But, like, it was a veritable genocide of Darth Revan's while I had it. You know what? Before Malgus came out, like, Darth Revan was on defense, and the Zam Omicron just let me destroy them, all of them, with Bounty Hunters, super cheap. And so it was... I don't regret that I have it now. Do I wish that it was still good? Sure, sure.
Yeah, but yeah, you got the use out of it. Yeah,
you get your money's worth. Yeah, yeah. And so I do think that, I mean, this might be worth it. I also think for Conquest, I'm like, the solution to playing hard mode, like, get to 4 million, of course, because that's required to get to hard mode in Conquest. And then have CLS and Night Sisters, and you're good.
Yeah.
You don't even need Good Night Sisters.
Yeah. No,
it could just be garbage. Right. Yeah, Relic 5 Daka, and that's it.
And I was just going to say, the higher you go, you can kind of just throw some Relics on Daka and Marin and keep doing everything you're doing without Krons, basically. Like, even in every mode, PvP, like, there's a way that, I kind of like how your mentality is, there's a way you can get a lot of value out of your Night Sisters in a lot of game modes if you know where to put the correct Relics on them.
No, I mean, that's such a core foundational team. I mean, you don't need them for those requirements except for Asajj in some places, but man, they're you don't even need to get them high gear. But you know, I have videos talking about Night Sisters. We don't need to belabor that point. I do think this Omicron one, I can't believe I'm looking at this. Like, they put a stamina cap at 50%.
Yeah, that's,
you get to use it 5 times, and then you just have to have a break. Like,
yeah, that's what I said. It's like they almost listened, and then they just stopped everything with that. So CG, if any employee ever listens to this, because I can, you know, take a little bit more pot shots, I'm not a regular Gambit podcaster. Well, I guess I'm in the rotation now, but like that's what we're talking about. Like, make it, like, if you want to have these game modes, even for, because the middle game users listen to you, like, they watch your videos, they watch other people's videos, and you still have to be relevant, like you just said, about, like, no, it's still not value at mid game. I'm sorry. Make it so at least it's a debatable question where people are like, you can run this down to 10%. You don't have to buy the stamina regeneration. Like, make it literally so OP that people need to, it was almost there, but then the stamina cap kind of shut that all down, in my opinion.
No, like, make it so that, exactly, like, make it so that it will carry you once you get to, like, Sector 4 or 5, and you have this crap 4 million account without a Galactic Legend, and make it so that it's going, you can just lean on it, in my opinion. This seems a little dumb. I mean, I guess you could maybe game the system if people have the patience or the understanding of how stamina works, like, you know, because you get a 1% uptick. And so, well, I guess that doesn't even work, because at 50%, if you go down to like 49%, you're like, oh yes, I'm at 50. Then you go all the way down to 40%. You have to wait for
however long. At best, you're just what a lot of us do. You do your tax before, you know, before you go to bed, and then you can wake up and do some more after your stamina's regen. But anyways, that's the kit. That's the news. That's the outrage. And a lot of this stuff, you know, Qui-Gon's kit, the questions on the logistics of that permanent or exclusive Kron. We'll have to wait on some of that. So I guess we can recap, talk about your DAC week. How did you do? You did pretty good, didn't you?
We haven't talked about that in Gambit for a while. Yeah,
I guys used to recap all the time.
Yeah, we used to, man. We used to. No, it was a good week. I was in a top 100, well, pretty close to it. It's like, it was like a top 100 if you don't count all the Rhodium people also smashed in there. Yeah, it was good. I ended up 3-0 on two of my accounts and 2-1 on the little account. So I'm already a winning record for my main account this season. Something's clicked.
Oh, wow.
So like no one can clear me cleanly because I'm just putting so much. I just got so annoyed with the Banecron.
Yeah.
Or not just Banecron, just Bane.
In general, just the meta in general. Yeah.
I was like, all right, you know what? We're six GLs and five really tough teams. Like, you know, no one gets a freebie. No one gets something approaching a freebie. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. And so that's you know, no one's been able to clear me cleanly so far, like one shot at all. And so I ended up winning. Even I think my favorite was against Dagger. He put a bunch of stuff on defense too, and I managed to full clear, albeit pretty like I dropped 100 banners, but he couldn't clear. So you know,
yeah, I watched that one. I was actually gave a little shout out to Dagger in the. I was really impressed with his putting Resistance Hero Finn with that hold 09, because you were saying, I think I pointed out to you in chat, you're like, why does she have so much more bonus protection than usual? And then I didn't even look, and I looked into his unique, and it gives 100% counter chance to Resistance, and then Holdo's basic gives foresight to her and one other Resistance tune. So when you were attacking her, she was just resisting all the time. And foresight just spread like crazy, which meant your bonus protection on her just spread like crazy. So it was pretty clever. I don't think it's maybe necessarily smart to split up your Zori and your Holdo teams or Ray or whatever. But it was clever. I did like that, and that was I liked you getting into your second or third choice teams to get the clear. Usually, that's always most fun for me when I'm watching you.
I mean, that's the part where you. I like that too. When in the moment, it's tough, but it's like, okay, if I don't one shot Ray, what's gonna happen here? Like the it's rough, man. It's a really tough thing to contemplate. Like, okay, my whole game plan was to be able to one shot Ray. If I can't do that, what, like, how do we even adapt to it? And we had to do some weird stuff. Was that the one I also had to use like Aphra to kill his like fully relic 9 modded to the like max Jabba team?
Yeah, but yeah, I think so, because it was in the back. I watched quite a bit of yours. You cracked out Aphra quite a bit, and I'm like, while you were doing it, people were talking about this and that, and I'm like, everybody at top end wants to say Malakos needs, you know, triple Ami to really get full value. Like, yes, the double Ami is good, but you throw Dai Whelp on there and all of a sudden you're beating more than you used to be able to beat, and or on D you're holding more, because at top end that's what it's all about. Those last, you know, min maxing top percentiles are what make the difference in a fight. And then, but then everybody wants to maybe throw just one lead Ami on Aphra, and her other ones are very good actually. And then you're just waltzing in with your, cause you're double, or are you triple Ami on that Aphra?
Yeah, I have triple on
yeah, that's
her.
What I thought. Yeah. So, and that's right there. That's a good example. Right. So,
I've always been, so here's my thought on this. And then we'll talk about your GACs just one second. I've always been a firm believer in GAC of, so if you want to do off meta counters, which is the thing, like I would have quit the game a long time ago if I couldn't kill Galactic Legends without my own Galactic Legend. And so either you need a Datacron to be able to enable that, and you know, have the whole team, or you have to invest in a team to the point where like your relic shouldn't necessarily have to be like you shouldn't have to have a ton of relics, but enough relics to stay relevant. And then you really need, but you need to have some kind of extra investment, I think, to be able to make it kind of equal, but to be able to take down a Galactic Legend. And so like Aphra is just constantly available to kill Jabba, Datacron dependent, depending on if he has something that stops that or something, but like you got to pay, you know?
Like, yeah, I think I actually took your lead when you were starting to do that. You were showing me some of the videos that you were doing, and I said, "Okay, R8 BT1, it's happening." And that's the thing is you don't need everybody, but the ones that are important, you do need to invest in your 100%, right? So.
Yeah, well, I've killed a couple Jabbas this season too with my Relic 5 Afra team. It's just a lot scarier because there's only one Omi on her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How was your GAC week?
I went 3-0 as well. I did the old, got up to a close to top 100 bracket last week, and I went 1-2. And I'm starting to understand the gaps in, you know, going 0-3 or even 1-2 are with how many people are in K1 now. Very staggering competition, because same thing, like I set my same D, I changed a couple things around, but what I set and I went from getting cleared you know, from these close to top 200 guys for 1750s to not being able to be cleared again. I was literally leaving my fleet and leaving like their Jabba at the back, even though I had two GLs. I had GLs left over, and you know you're just crushing. You know me, I'm usually, my mark is if I got the full clear and hopefully I can get a stop, that's like my mark for, and I went over 18-10 all three times. So that's unheard of for me.
That
so
is
now
crazy,
I'll be,
actually. Yeah.
I'll be back up in the sweat of things again, but I kind of like it there more because being so defense oriented, it was, and they didn't even, I think my opponents, you know, God bless them, they were like, we know what you're doing, Canada Fed. We know you have something for that Jabba. You one shot everything else. You're not fooling us.
Nice.
So I couldn't even get them to attempt to clear after they knew they dropped their first, you know, couple of battles or whatever. So yeah, I did pretty good. Had a lot of fun with some teams. My BS lead with offense moded, or modded, JML. Got a hold in the finals again for me. That's still killing for me. So I love that little, it's front wall for me. So I'm not even hiding it, but I don't think there's an efficiency counter for that. Somebody was saying, I'd use SK versus, and seeing what was left. I think SK was tried on it this week. So
we'll see. Team?
So I've changed the fourth and fifth around, but it's just Bastilla lead, JML, Watt. It's the old, yeah, you know, BS lead with Watt. And then this week I settled on Mace as the fourth and Cat as the fifth. And Cat has been the fourth, I think, on almost every team except for one match I swapped out and didn't get a hold. So I said, oh, no more of that. So put Cat back in for the extra damage. Hmm. And then usually just a Galactic Republic Jedi to transfer to. So I've had GMY in there week one, and then this week I had Mace for just a little bit more protection on JML there. So,
and then you put the extra damage level 6.
Yeah, for and Jedi. then he's modded for offense, offense arrow and everything. I knew this because I went into a TW and I forgot to switch back, and I failed my JML versus KB counter, and I was like, what went wrong in this? Like, I don't understand. I had a half decent protection percent, and I was like, oh right. And then we won, so I admitted it afterwards, but I wasn't gonna admit it if we had lost.
So the big thing the people have to realize about Jedi Master Luke is it, like, you kind of you think of him as a walking, like, he's like a damage stick that everyone uses. They're like, okay, like, Jedi Master Luke lead, like the traditional use, load him up with protection and have people hit, you know, really hard with him. And that's nice. It's a lot of damage. He facilitates that. But what people don't realize, like, every once in a while, I'm sure people have had that transcendent moment, whether it's in territory battles or somewhere else, where he does one of his AoEs after he has get pops his ult, and like the whole team just evaporates and dies because his AoE is just it hits super hard. And if you mod him with a ton of offense and then give him a Datacron with a ton of extra offense and stuff, like, he's going to be hitting really hard. Like, you know, Herf is talking about in chat, like, he's surprised CLS hasn't worked, and probably the mechanics work to be able to get a lot of turns and stuff. But the second he does his big hit, you know, with Cat giving him an extra 50% damage and everything, I would just have to imagine.
Well,
you would just melt a lot of those teams.
Thapa is in chat too, and he was my week one opponent that got blown up versus it. And I assume he's a good player and brought in, like, you know, probably a thick thicker CLS too. But that's the whole point of having Cat there too, because it's like, okay, we're already offense modded. We're already getting damage from the six. We're getting 35% more damage from BS lead. I want to add more gasoline onto that. Like, if you're going to do it, like you just said, like invest into it. So I'm starting to realize, like, I hate remodding with a passion, but when I get to remod to do fun stuff like this, it's not a chore. It's a lot of fun. So, and it does throw people off because they just look at it and look at the .gg data and they say, oh, okay, well, this works and let's run CLS. And then, it doesn't work. So,
right. Well, and also, I mean, that's the perfect trap team too, because even if you don't have Cat there, I mean, Cat's going to give such a nice boost for offense and for, I mean, your health. The health gives you all that bonus protection from Basti. Like, there's a lot of really sneaky elements to that. But I really like the idea of you can't really scout for that. You can't look at insights and find a team like that, because no one goes in and, like, if I tried to run that team with my current mods, it would just, I mean, maybe it would have limited success, who knows? But if you have to really lean into the strengths of that specific mechanic you're targeting. And once you do, that's not a thing someone can use insights to actually determine the results.
So that was my week. Had a good week. It was fun. I'm looking forward to get it up there, and maybe we'll cross paths here sometime in the future. Since I know you're going to want to jet here pretty quick, you probably got the ticker on. The tip-offs are always late, so I'm sure we have a little bit of time. Let's get in some questions.
Let's do some questions. I don't have it on because I'd be too distracted.
All right, so I'll just sorry if you don't get read, but I know we don't. There's about 12 here from last week, so I'm just picking Canada Pet ones I want to choose. So, this one was good, and I'm actually going to combine both these because they're both talking about fleets. So, rampant speculation time. What fleet are we getting? A certain someone recently put out a video claiming a gas fleet is on the way. I've seen speculation about Ender Spire. I believe that's Bastillas from Old Republic coming to offset Levi. Trench Newt, Septroid ship seems to make most sense what's in the game, but that would unbalance the light side, dark side rotation. Assuming we do get a fleet, I don't see it how it doesn't render one of the existing capital ships as useless without a full fleet. And then the next question, I'll read this at the same time because it's kind of in the same thing. Rampant speculation time. What if GLs and cap ship GLs hit a plateau for a year or so and they focus more on legendaries, epic confrontations as the new power creep, well, R10 revitalizes, balances the existing GLs, and then fleets get droids, aka ship mods, as well to boost from R10 on crew members to diversify that area. So in general, that's a lot of questions all at once, but what are your thoughts on upcoming of the fleet meta in general, and what is upcoming for a new capital ship and where fleets are and what seems to be on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll just talk about that for half an hour. So, I the ships thing, I wouldn't mind it. I'll just say, I've thought for a long time that we've been on a trajectory of them eventually adding a fourth fleet into GAC, into Kyber One, is what I think.
I agree.
That's what it's felt like. It's felt like that's just the slowly inevitable thing that they're tracking toward, that we're going to get there eventually. And if it's not, I'll be happy enough, believe me. But that's like what it's felt like. And so to do that, of course, they have to release more ships. And so the one capital ship per year formula that they've followed the last 3 years has seemed to be extremely effective. To get us to that point slowly and inevitably, but not just overload us to the point where the player base rebels. And so, Bastila would surprise me because she's already required at Relic 7 for Leviathan, and that level of overlap seems like anathema to what their goals would be. Though Endar Spire would be a cool ship. So similarly with General Skywalker, seems like most people already have it a goal to have him as high relic as possible. You'd think that they would choose someone a little more obscure. But I'd be good with whatever. Honestly, like I've said Trench for a while because I felt like Trench hasn't they made him that they release an admiral to the game and they don't let him be a pilot. But at the same time, they release Bodhi. Like, what the hell is Bodhi doing in the game without, like, he's the pilot.
The definition of a pilot, yeah.
like what? He's like, no wonder his kit sucks. Like, he's a pilot. They're like, here, I have a pistol. He's like, what the hell do I do with this? You know, like there's nothing. Yeah, he's just it's just so stupid. It's fine. It's fine. He's in the game. No one uses him, and he's not a requirement. So I don't need to get mad. But I just, Trench would have such a nice little value add there, and it seems to also fit the current theme of requiring conquest characters for ships. To for really important fleets and everything. Because right now it's like okay, Leviathan requires a bunch of like two different you need Malgus and his ship. But then also if you to interact with that fleet, if you don't have Leviathan yourself, then a lot of times they kind of pushed us into the Chimera counter, which also requires a conquest ship. And so it just seems like fleets, the important fleets are all kind of revolving and turning into conquest requirements. So I would look to that to be the requirements personally, like that to be involved in it some way. That's
So,
my thought.
two thoughts for me is I just thought of one when you were saying about Enderspire there with Bastila. We touched on earlier this drastic change on an exclusive Datacron and just switching up what we've kind of seen. What's stopping CJ from running a dual pilot capital ship? Like, what if they do Bastila and Karth? And the reason I thought of that immediately when you said that is because I was contemplating getting the $15 pack to just get my G11 Karth up to whatever it was, R3 or R5. And I was like, okay, is that value there? That was the only one I think of that whole kit that I needed. But I was like, is this worth $15? And I mean, if you didn't get that and all of a sudden Karth is the co-pilot of that capital ship, now you're, boned. And even kind of more boned if you have to take two pilots up to R9.
I could
Never
go
say
with
never, I
Karth.
guess, but
Well, Karth was a high ranked guy, I think. So yeah, he could be the pilot.
Yeah, it's just a thought. Like, and I'm surprised they haven't
I'd
gone
be
there, especially
down.
since we've had, two or three unit regular ships. So maybe that's a thought that they go there. And then the second thing, when you were saying about Trench and all that kind of stuff, my only thought is they're really pushing the episode one stuff, but it seems like capital ships are planned quite a bit out in advance, just from what I've seen so far.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm sure that they've known what pilot if there is going to be a capital ship, they've known for 9 months or something, for sure.
All right, there's a question about the definition of meta and off meta. We're not going to answer that lest we anger everybody in chat and listening, because that every single game complains about that definition of meta. So I always find it funny. New Datacron set should drop this week. Gungan Datacron seem like a lock. Galactic Republics to catch up to Queen Amidala when she comes, like they did with DTMG. What else do you think? So you touched on the Galactic Republic earlier when we were doing the kit. What do you think for the Kron setup coming here?
You're just saying like what's the next cron set gonna be?
Yeah, I think that's what
Yeah.
you're asking.
So I think probably Galactic Republic, because we already have Jedi. We've had the same faction a couple times in a row, maybe we've been like Scoundrel and then
It's
Smuggler
overlap,
or something like
like
that.
I'm gonna butcher it. Inks into Yufu, like that happened, or Empire into Inks, like stuff like that. This happened where it's kind of, benefiting Inks the whole time, right?
I mean, yeah, the Inquisitor had that, like Inquisition have had the I can't say it either.
Yeah, it's fine.
bringing your Canadian influence here. no, it's they have the perfect tags to be relevant forever, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so well, and especially because they've been able, even the times that they can't use the good level six or something, they've been able to use a really strong level three. So. Yeah, there's otherwise I think so let's see. It'll be it won't be
Ewoks haven't
Gungans.
been for a while, but they don't really fit the theme of like, episode one or whatever. I'm trying to think of what hasn't Bounty Hunter, somebody just said that's been a while. There's definitely been some non-repeats, but I think somebody brought this up once. You guys maybe have talked about it on another roundtable, and my Swoga history is just not good enough, so I apologize for that. But I know there are two or three factions out there, or two at least now, maybe, that haven't had any. Rogue One, maybe, is one. Is that?
I guess. I mean, we've had the
It's just
Jin Kron this whole
Rebel
time.
Fighter, yeah, and then Rebel, obviously, but. So yeah, there's been a couple of factions that haven't been addressed. But I don't know. Personally, I think they could go anywhere with this other than Galactic Republic does seem like a lock to me. Yes.
Yeah, I think they'll save
and Gungans.
My guess is that Gungans will be saved for when they're more widely available in 3 months.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. And someone's already mentioned that it could be that we get like a Boss Nass one that makes it so that you could take a 4-man Gungan team in and actually have it be good, or maybe, you know, like Datacron that gives, I don't know, like Qui-Gon an honorary Gungan tag or something like that. But I would love to see Wookiees get good again. The Pets team was a lot of fun when we had that. I would love not. That's just me wish listing though. It could. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think I'd be surprised by anything at all, honestly. Unless it was Gungans, I would be mildly surprised, but not that surprised.
I just hope they. I did not like that, and it was over Christmas, and I think it was just a blip where they recycled two full sets, like they just straight up. Like copied the sixes and the threes again. I don't mind recycling the nines like Afras because it was different sixes and different threes, and that felt like a different set because threes and sixes interact so much different. I did not like the straight copy and paste reset, which I believe was set 11, 12, whatever it was over Christmas there. So,
I guess one last thing. I think that there's an increasing likelihood that we get First Order at some point again as well.
Yeah, they've been ignored for a while, and I mean my R7 crew is kind of looking for excuse to go to R8. So,
I want my 8 to go to 9. He gets such a crazy benefit from that. But anyways, what's the next question?
Here's a question for you because you'll know this far more because you interact with newer accounts and mid-game more. For newer players, would you recommend spending TB and raid currency on older TB characters like Watt, Rolo, and or Cam? Or are these characters that you think would be included in future light speed bundles? You can actually talk to that too, just about waiting out for light speed bundles and if that's viable or what your opinion is on that. You kind of know more about efficiency farming and start game accounts.
Sure. So I can go briefly, I guess. So territory battle currency, like GT 1 and 2 and 3, I guess. You need to be spending it on requirement characters. So like the one I would say maybe hold off a little bit at least is maybe like IPD. He's not required for anything, unfortunately. I mean, it's scary. Like Kiani Mundi not required for anything, and those are the two I'm holding off on my smallest account. I don't even have Kiani Mundi unlocked. Hopefully never will on that account, unless they gift it to us on some level. But otherwise, yeah, you need those requirement characters. There's not really a way to get them other than actually investing in them. So, I mean, I do have videos talking about where to spend which currencies on different characters. So you could go check those out. We could probably spend a lot of time getting into the particulars. Yeah,
shout out to Zerus' YouTube channel. Go check it out. If you're listening and you are even a mid-game player, like I know there's others out there, but because I know you, it's that is one thing I will, you know, a little ego boost to you here, but you really do address more start and mid-game stuff where a lot of other people at top end kind of ignore. And it's nice to see, like, I really like watching your mid-game account because that's where you're always cracking out like the, you know, Dash Vandors versus JMLs. And I like seeing that because I ran that, you know, 3 years ago too. And it's a little bit of nostalgia and fun and still works too. So it's really cool to see.
Hey, well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. It's honestly that when I get to use an aura lead with Zam, Omicron and Bounty Hunters to evaporate a Darth Revan like that, it's pure joy. Like that's just some of my favorite times in this game. And, you know, it's less and less relevant these days, but yeah, the early game is so fun.
Even on your main, I still see you crack out that R9 Bossick sometimes. And you're like, oh, he can take the hits. We can make this LV counter work or whatever you're going to do. So
yeah, you can do some crazy stuff with a Relic 9 boss for sure. But
this person asks, what are your opinions on the Stap Omi, both now and after his Datacron dusts? I'll answer this first just because I kind of talked about this in chat with some people they were asking earlier. And my opinion is it's very, very good. I just unlocked him, so I've been playing with him. I don't have the Omni, but I can speak to, like, I'm beating Leia's in Arena at R5 even. I'll get him up to R7, guaranteed. I just waiting on. I was literally farming him with the Cantina until I got, I guess, an 2.5 hours before my double drops in. So I'll do one more refresh after this. But I would say if you're Omicron aplenty, which not a lot of people are, I think he'll be needed to do what you want him to do after his 9 and target lock 6 are gone. I think in the meantime, with Queen Amidella dropping and 2 of her Omicrons, that's another question we can talk about that, I think maybe more of a priority for what will get more bang for your buck, especially because that 6 and 9 do a lot of, you know, heavy lifting, especially against Leia's and stuff. So my opinion is the stat Ami will probably be needed after the 6 and 9 are gone. If you want him to do the fun things and beat good teams. But in the meantime, if you are not a lot of Ami mats right now, like me, I think I'm sitting at 16 or 17, 15. I would hold off until a couple of things. One, we see Queen Amidala and what's needed there. And then also two, the raid Amis, or sorry, the raid tunes. We need the list for what units are required and at what relics and all that kind of stuff, because that will make your decision. We've seen the economy in this game. You can't ignore the raids anymore. You can't even come close to it. It's like such a focal point for the economy of this game at almost every level. And I would say my advice would be hold out until we get, I was really hoping we get information today with I hope this week with the new Kron set that we get some raid tsunamis, but that would be my advice on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, list, not armies. Right to list.
Yeah.
As you didn't cover the new Mandalore planet next week, thoughts on the unlock mission and also on a scale of 90 to 100%, how dumb is it putting more Kairos as the rewards? You can take on that because I know you're flush with Kairos currently. I'm starting to get caught up. We passed quite a bit and I think, yeah, between the extra planets, I got an extra 120. And I realized once you're unlocking those planets, I understand what you guys are saying now. You do, like, that's where all your extra Cairo income comes from, because like somebody like me and people similar to me, I'm farming Gungans, I'm farming Boss Nass. That's where doing triple refresh, that's where my light side currency is going to. So whatever leftovers I have, that goes to Kairos. Sometimes even gear, you know, if I'm a little not flush, sure. But mm-hmm. Usually raid takes care of that. So I do see what you guys are saying about that. I think it is dumb for that high end of a planet, especially like some of the, you know, tier 2 and tier 3 planet offshoots. I can understand that. But for how high an investment that is, I don't think that was smart as far as rewards go.
I mean, I don't need that many Omicron or Kairos tech, I should say. Like, it's not new. I will say that these rewards feel a lot stronger than what you get at Zepho. I mean, it's phase 4 instead of phase 3, but at the same time, I mean, it instead of getting 20 and 20 of the Kairos tech pieces, you get 50 and 50, I believe. And I mean, that's a significant boost. And whatever people say, like, the stars do matter in terms of the rewards. Like, compared my main account and what I'm getting income-wise on my main account compared to my smallest account, which is still getting, like, 30-something stars, I'm still just like, oh my gosh, like this, like when I compare them side by side, I'm still getting a lot more on my main account. So I don't know that it's worth putting a ton more effort in for like one more star or whatever, but it is a little bit nice to get that. The missions are all pretty easy. I was able to get 2 out of 2 on everything. I didn't do the Relic 9 Mandalorian ones with Bo-Katan. I don't think that one's going to be worth it, especially because, well, I don't think the characters are going to be worth Relic 9.
No.
The investment at this point, no. At least. And it's only a special mission, or it's only a combat mission. And, like, the fleet is pretty easy to win. And all of them are pretty easy to win. And at least my guild, which, of course, has bigger rosters, it was fairly easy to get through it. And most people in that guild, even in my guild, don't have the Relic 9 pieces. And we just didn't need it. So... Yeah.
Even our guild easy. That's not near the Husky Patrol, shout out to Grimbrewer, our TB officer. We squeaked by for 39. I think it was our second month, but we had some people missing, just family matters and stuff like that. And we did really well. We got the Cairo rewards. And it was, I like opening up new plans. You know how much I despise TB. That's no secret. But I do like running the new missions. Zepho was fun for a while there. It does revitalize it for a while. It's just, unfortunately, all the issues with TB, you know, after maybe 3-4 weeks of enjoying new planets and some fun new stuff, gets a little stale. So
So real quick, remind me, it does Mandalorian or does Mandaloria, what am I saying? Oh, does Mandalore have a special mission or it's all combat missions right now?
You're asking the wrong guy. I think it's all just combat missions. I don't think there's a special mission on there. There is a fleet, though, I believe, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I still think that it's very possible we get some kind of
Chat will
special
tell us.
mission.
All combat, Prime just said. There you go.
Yeah,
So
I
yeah,
thought so.
maybe they'll throw in a special mission on
Well,
there.
Zeppo has one for GT2, and use clones,
Why
whatever.
are they not? Why are they not throwing shards into TB? Like, I do not understand that. You were just talking about, like, yes, people would get mad, but if you're talking about getting people to spend, and I know there's some guild, breakups and that, but that's always existed. That's never not been a part of the game. I don't like that aspect, but it's never not been a part of the game. And if you want the big spenders to spend more, get a new character in there with shards. You'll get people spending out the wazoo. That's one thing that, like, we've seen, between Reva or whoever else in the past. I do not understand how they haven't thrown character shards on. I just don't get it. I know people have talked about relic mats and stuff like that too. I'll listen to that too, as well, but I just don't understand. New character, people like new characters. I don't care if the meta is where the meta is. There's a million characters in this game, and there's an overabundance of them. But new characters, new kits, it's fun. It's way more fun than Kairos, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Yeah, so we'll see if they do add a character. I feel like they could, and it wouldn't surprise me. It kind of surprised me that we didn't get one in the first place, though. So,
All right, last question here. Let's get you to your nuggets. It's kind of a combo. Oh, Herf's asking, how much did you bribe Meat for dropping news before Gambit? That you guys have gotten some Monday news. That's pretty good. You'll have to give Meat a high five for that.
it's
So,
new for us, yeah.
yeah. So there's a couple of Jar Jar questions. We can just lump them together, both about how do you think Jar Jar will affect your 5v5 week for 3v3. Karen was asking that, and then Prime was also asking about the Jar Jar Ahmis. I haven't looked into his Ahmis, so I can't answer that. You can speak to it. The Jar Jar for week three. That is one team. If I see on D, I know it's beating a lot on offense. I had an issue with a 3v3 Gungan team that I thought would be a lot easier, which wasn't, and it blew up two battles for me, and I had to multi-tap. So if I see him on D, I attack as soon as open happens. I will probably wait for some info from other people of what's working. That's my opinion on if I see a Jar Jar for week three, especially with these Omicrons, and I don't know what they're going to do and how it's powerful or which ones you should go for. But I would be scared if I seen a Gungan squad on
Yeah,
week three.
I don't know what I'd do against the Gungan squad. Jar Jar does a lot of really cool stuff, honestly. If you can get past the fact that he's a weirdo, but he does a lot of really interesting stuff. I'll have him. I know that the conventional wisdom is to put the new squad on defense to mess with people. Frankly, because I'm streaming, I think I might prefer to just use it on offense and just button mash my way to either
Yeah,
fail,
let's see what it does.
to victory or
Yeah.
abject failure. Just to see, just for the spectacle of it. I really don't know. Like I have to make a decision here. I have three Omicrons for Jar Jar or available for Jar Jar if I want to do it. And with eight more mats, kind of getting close to another one. But they all look good, man. It seems like he wants all three. I can't decide.
Yeah, and there is the one with relic levels too, so then you do
I
justify
know.
bumping them up more.
I know.
And
Relic
then, and
9.
now how deep are
Gosh.
you in into the Jar Jar squad with Queen Amidala? Like, they did time this almost perfectly. Like, this is a lot of overlap with beloved characters and also quite powerful kits too. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I'm gonna wait for the dust to settle, and I kind of have to go with the efficiency route of what's being used. Once I get into something, then I'll go all in. Like, I do have triple Omi Malakos, as we mentioned before. Like, once I see the value of it, I'm like, okay, I'll go all in. But it's,
Yeah.
you know, 2 months after everybody else has kind of shown that what's working, what isn't working. But yeah, long story short, I'll be scared if I see him on D, and I'll just say, okay,
Absolutely.
what else is working, people? Because your little SAS hitting under protection tricks that worked in the past for threes, that's
That
not going to
happened to
work
him.
for
Yep.
fives. So
No, it's true. And Jabba feeding him to the Rancor, they're immune to that. A lot of stuff they're immune to. No, I will say evidence toward them releasing something big, either a Galactic Legend or Fleet, seems pretty high just because, I mean, you just finished STAP, but before that, you probably had five Gear 11 characters just sitting on your roster in a row. Neat in your row on favorites, you know, the four Gungans and STAP. And then, like, they're poised to steal all your resources all at the same time, right as they release a new thing that has a bunch of other requirements.
100%. 100%.
So, to me, it seems like this is their classic, like, burn all the resources on a squad that's kind of important, but not the pinnacle, and then release the pinnacle and make people climb to it.
And on top of that, okay, we're going to have Separatists in the new raid. Everybody that has an R5 B2, which is, you know, everybody around my area, get that up to R7 if you want them to do good in the raid. And guilds are pushing raids too. So, yeah, it's, I mean, the overlap's going to be crazy, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love this. That they release enough stuff fast enough. I really love it from a resource management perspective. It's just really fun to solve the puzzle. But I realize it stresses other people out. So,
well, thanks again for having me on. And shout out to Solo in his absence. Keep having fun. I'm sure he's probably having some more drinks here listening to us right now and yelling at, well, why didn't Canada talk about this? Well, sorry, I didn't even talk about Santa. So there you go.
We didn't even talk about how much we like the efficiency meta.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, because screw the efficiency meta.
but pleasure having me on again, and go Nuggets tonight, even though Edwards is, we kind of talked about it before, man, that guy is something special. He is doing things that I haven't seen a new superstar do in a long time.
I hope crazy. He starts dominating next year and stops this year. So thanks so much for coming on with me here, Canada. It was a lot of fun. Thank you all for watching with us. Just because Solo's not here doesn't mean you guys have free license to be dicks, so you need to stop with that, please.
Don't be a hoser, eh?
That's a good place to stop.